What's up, rap fans? Welcome back to the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast, keeping you up to date on hip hop music in 2018. I'm Kyle French. Today is April 11th, and we're going to be getting to some album reviews for Czarface Meets Metalface by Czarface and MF Doom, and Everything's Fine by Quell Chris and Jean Grey. And then we got an interesting, unexpected visitor for Meek Mill in prison. We're going to run through his situation real quick and who went to visit him over the weekend. We got your song of the week and new music announcements at the end of the show. It's definitely a packed one. We're going to have some fun. As always, you can follow me on Instagram at hiphopenth. That's HIPHOPENTH. Post on there usually daily. So if you want more content, feel free to check that out. Throw me the follow. But let's get down to business. Our first album we're going to be talking about today is Czarface Meets Metalface. And we've talked about a lot of collab projects recently. Especially like in the past 2 years, I feel like I've seen a huge influx of collab work with a bunch of individuals coming together to form a group. And this is like the epitome of that wave because Czarface themselves is a collab group of Inspecta Deck of the Wu-Tang Clan and the duo 7L and Esoteric. 7L on the production, Esoteric on the vocals. That duo comes together to form a trio, which then adds in the legendary MF Doom to form this whole Czarface times MF Doom album that we have here today. You may recognize these guys' names or this album in general because I did talk about it a couple months ago when the lead single Nautical Depth came out, and I said I was excited to hear this drop. And what you're getting here is nothing new. You're getting lyrical underground hip-hop with some outside-of-the-box traditional production, which sounds kind of strange to say it's out-of-the-box and it's traditional, but it pretty much takes like more classical sounding hip hop and puts like an alternative spin on it. A lot of noises coming in and out. We'll get to breaking down the production later. Thematically, the artists kind of play characters. I mean, like they do, so you can't say they don't, but there's no real like theme or progression to these characters they play. They've done this in the past. MF Doom is extremely infamous for playing multiple characters, whether it's his go-to, you know, masked face MF Doom character, or King Ghidorah, or Victor Vaughn. He's done this in the past and formed really cool, like, extended concept albums and taken on different personalities. And Czarface, I think, was extremely inspired by that to make their character. But their character is kind of less involved. I mean, the character's name itself is Czarface, and it's pretty much just, like, a mask for them to put on, and they can say whatever they want and live behind the mask and play these villainous and heroic roles, and just grants them like great freedom to talk about really whatever they want with astronomical confidence and just aggressive attitudes. And you're going to get a lot of punchlines and wordplay that certainly carry this album. Like I said, there's no concepts to speak of, but there are some awesome one-liners. One of my favorite lines is Esoteric on the track Bomb Throne, and he's talking about his raps are very necessary, like a Q-Tip Grammy rant, which is an awesome line because obviously Q-Tip went on his rant on the Grammys about how Tribe Called Quest's 2016 album did not get any nominations and he was frustrated about it. And so Esoteric kind of pumps himself up while also supporting Q-Tip with a clever line there, which was pretty cool. He also had a line where he said, check for the double cross, like Two Chains at Sunday Mass. That had me laughing. And then Inspecta Deck had probably the best couple words on this album that just were so ignorantly funny that, like, I had an outward reaction listening to it. He said, I blacks out like Donald Sterling, which is an awesome dig at the former LA Clippers owner, Donald Sterling, who was a bit of a racist, caught on tape saying he didn't want African Americans, specifically Magic Johnson, at his LA Clippers basketball games. So INS saying he blacks out like Donald Sterling, implying that he goes off on the beat, he blacks out rapping, just like Donald Sterling didn't want blacks in his games, was a pretty hilarious line. So you can expect a lot of that, a lot of clever wordplay, and a lot of just really sweet punchlines going into this project. One thing I did notice is even though Inspecta Deck and MF Doom are clearly the bigger names here, and Esoteric is like, he's infamous in his own right, but if you're lining those three guys up, Esoteric's coming in third all time, like by almost everyone who's going to rank him. But on this album that we have in front of us today, I thought I mean, he was head and shoulders above what Inspector Deck and Doom brought to the table on this album. Doom comes with like this low-toned voice, which obviously we know him for. He's got that low snarl, and he just had this really slow flow. And usually the production and his lyrics are enough to keep him interesting and exciting. But on here, he just kind of sounded a little bit lazy, a little bit like sonically boring, even though his lyricism was still tight. And then Inspector Deck, I just felt like he remained a little reserved. He didn't really dive into his deep bag of tricks as much as I thought he would. And he just didn't have that super aggressive flow that I kind of know him for and think of him as. And it was Esoteric who really provided the punch. He was rapping with passion, animated, and I also thought he had the best quotables. When I'm thinking about, you know, catchy lines that come to my head, Esoteric's like 75% of them on here. So props to him because he really came through and killed it. And his lifetime counterpart, 7L, working the boards, I thought also brought a really nice punch to this album. Like I mentioned, he's kind of got that out-of-the-box production and trying to match the whole villain and superhero comic book type lines that these guys are going for. I thought he did a good job. There were a lot of video game type sounds, beeps, and cartoonish melodies going on. He also used a lot of like dark guitar picking as kind of the bass lines for a couple of these tracks, which I thought sounded really cool. I'm usually not a big fan of guitars in hip-hop instrumentals for whatever reason, but on here, it definitely worked out. It's not like this alternative, somewhat abstract production style is all that new. I think he also was inspired by, you know, MF Doom and Madlib's production style from back in the day, but it is a little bit less diluted than the boom bap sound, which I still do love, but there's a lot less of this going on, and so even though it's not the newest sounding production, it is a little bit different, and it always takes a weird twinge that keeps you interested. You never really quite know where it's going next. Keeps you on your toes, so that's cool. And then just overall, for negatives, just a lack of a theme and lack of subjects really hurt the album. It just kind of comes and goes without any like defining moments, nothing to anchor it and say like this is its point of existence, this is its overall point, overall message, whatever it may be. And there was no chemistry or connectivity between the verses, even if they were back-to-back on the same song. I really felt like you could copy and paste these verses and put them anywhere on any track, and no one would know the difference. No one would be, you know, any the wiser that you had flip-flopped all of the verses on all of the beats, because none of them have anything to do with each other. Even the track Phantoms, which has a chorus, which with a chorus usually kind of ties things together, and the chorus implies that there's like these haunting demons or like paranoia or whatever, but the only person who really raps on that subject is the feature verse from Open Mike Eagle, which obviously addresses like this ghost and this like little weird story that he tells. But outside of him, Doom, INS, SO, none of them really touch on that subject. So it just really left the track like, what is exactly going on here? And that's kind of an extension of the whole album. So that's really my biggest problem with Czarface meets Metal Face. But even then, if you get a bunch of phenomenal legendary lyricists, throw them together over some really clean, you know, cartoonish-inspired production, you know, it's going to work out. Yeah, it does feel like these guys are kind of a little bit coasting toward the end of their careers and just relying on their previous skills without really developing new styles. But, you know, I'm kind of cool with it. So it's still a very solid album. I'm going to say best tracks, Bomb Throne, Stun Gun, Forever People, and Badness of Madness. My least favorite tracks were MF Czar and Don't Spoil It. I would recommend if you like Evidence, Wu-Tang Clan, or MF Doom. And overall rating, I'm going to give this a strong 7 out of 10. I'll play two songs from the album, as always. So I'll play some snippets from Bomb Throne and Forever People by Czarface and MF Doom from their new debut album, Czarface Meets Metal Face. Wake up the five villains.
It up like Kane in his prime. Fuck with us, you insane in the mind. You cowards way out of line. Money talk, boy, you wasting my time. You don't wanna put the work in, you just wanna taste of the shine. Real talk, so it's hard to trust. I'm in it for the long ride, like I drive a chartered bus.
best? Who's the worst? We can argue hours. Running through Soldier Field, I'm Jordan Howard. Nowadays, they respect money more than power. Money, power, respect, we all want some. I ain't waiting, I need it in one lump sum. Made men trade hands with young guns. They stop manufacturing the cloth that I'm cut from. No, I'm body shaming exes. Only time you said trip is when you binge on Netflix. Reckless, running up like yes, so listen please. Alright, I like the beat except the snare kicking keys. Jeez, I teach but I kill them when the class on. So I got no pupils like Spidey with the mask on. Generally speaking, each rhyme is 5-star. Split personality, I ride with a sidecar. I can't think of the rhyme, it must be misplaced. It's on the tip of my tongue like Stan Smith's face. Hold on. Something about a fly sound and how you got no bars like a dry town, some pipe down. The beat bumps like bad skin. Captain gonna teach stuff. Shout to Craig, man, that's the line, yo. Let the mind take you where the cameras can. It's very necessary, like a Q-tip Grammy rant.
That was Bomb Throne and Forever People from Czarface and MF Doom's Czarface Meets Metal Face. A solid album. Those are both two pretty cool tracks right there. The second album that we're going to get to today is a pretty amazing one. And this is Everything's Fine by Quellcris and Gene Gray. This is both a music duo and a real life duo, as Quell and Gene are a married couple. And they are somewhat the leaders of the alternative scene. I mean, there's a lot of people operating in that wave, but as of right now, they're a couple of the names that are really pushing it forward, and they always bring this quirky element to their tracks and just to rap in general. And they gift us with a phenomenal conceptual album here, very intricate, a deep dive into humanity. The end goal on this album is to expose the cliche saying of everything's fine. It's an everyday facade, kind of a defense that people use to pretend their world is just A-okay and nothing's wrong. If someone says, hey, how you doing? It's always, I'm good, I'm fine. No one ever says, oh, I'm having a horrible day. Like, oh, there's all this stuff on my mind, whatever, whatever. Everyone just always says it's fine. And Quell and Gene kind of are trying to break down that wall and kind of expose that like fake truth there. Because realistically, everybody has some type of personal issues going on or worried about, you know, the world in general, social crises, whatever it may be. But instead of the duo kind of coming straight forward and telling you this is what's going on, they metaphorically play out the role of someone who is embracing this everything's fine mantra throughout the whole album. And they do this early on with heavy use of satire to poke fun at society, give off this vibe that they're confident, stress-free individuals, kind of at on top of everything, feeling good. They just attack people. They're mocking trend followers. Jean Grey does this funny impersonation of feminists, kind of hyperbolizing every stereotype imaginable about them. And even though she's a female herself, just kind of poking fun at that. They playfully entertain conspiracy theories on Smoking Man. As Quell says on the chorus, you know, they said they did it. The Ouija board said they did it, and I ain't even play with it. And there he's just kind of making fun of people who just run with conspiracy theories, kind of out of nowhere with no good reasoning. And then they subliminally attack brainwashed music listeners on the track House Call, which is so funny. It's like this, the track's called House Call. It's got this G-funk, up-tempo, like party-type production. Everyone's like, oh, it's a house party song, right? But on the actual hook, where you think it's a party song, they're saying, they're incepting your brain. They're sneaking in amidst the vibe to just subliminally attack you and win you over to their ways. And it's just so funny to hear them straightforward telling you that. But a lot of people are just going to skip right over it and not even notice it. So you have some incredible comedic performances in these hilarious song themes. Obviously, heavy use of satire, and they do this all with the wittiest of lines and an awesome sense of humor. These tracks dominate the early portion of the album until they slowly give way to like serious tracks kind of under the surface. So they give you the first half kind of saying, we're all good, we're cool, we're just kind of like making fun of people, like obviously we're having a good time. And then all of a sudden they dive into much deeper issues. Quell Chris details the agony and exhaustion of being a minority. Jean Grey reveals the traumatic memories of her addicted and abusive father. They both dive into racial conflicts and police injustice on Breakfast of Champions, which at first I thought the vocals were really annoying because they had this distorted effect on them, until I realized that the effect they're using is to make themselves sound like they're speaking over a police dispatcher, which is, again, just a little tidbit that is so intricate of a detail, but once you start picking up on them, you see them everywhere, and it's crazy the amount of stuff they just hide somewhat behind the scenes, but also in plain sight through their artistic abilities. And the album peaks on the track Waiting for the Moon, which is potentially the number one song of 2018, in my opinion. And they detailed just the everyday battle of regular people just hoping to make it through the day and get to the night, obviously waiting for the moon, waiting for the night to come so they know they made it through. But it also has this encouraging, uplifting chorus from Anna Wise, kind of this light at the end of the tunnel type of idea. And this progression of tracks and progression through the album to build this concept, I just thought was incredible. And it's the perfect model of show, don't tell. Because they never come straightforward and tell you, this is what we're doing, this is what we're trying to do. And it's not until like a few listens through the album you kind of put all the pieces together and realize like, damn, that was crazy. And once you kind of realize everything, I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate to this album, and kind of just everyone who follows that everything's fine mantra, I'm all good, you know, whatever, whatever. And I think this will kind of wake them up if they're really listening to the album to realize like everyone's going through this, but everyone pretends they're not at the same time. And it's just so silly. But some other things that I really liked about the album were the skits that they use on here, especially the opening skit of this like fake game show where the only answer is everything's fine. So they introduce this guy to the game and they're like, oh, this guy is a horrible life and he's flying high on every drug imaginable, but how are you doing? And he says, everything's fine. And the next person has, whatever, cried themselves to sleep for the last 50 nights and just bought a bunch of cats online. How are you doing? Oh, everything's fine. And it's just a perfect intro to just set the tone for the album. They have other ones throughout. Nick Offerman has a great monologue before the Waiting for the Moon track as well. And the features definitely come through on here. Some ones that you wouldn't expect, like Hannibal Buress. Obviously, he brings the comedic element there. Your Old Droog has an awesome verse on Scoop of Dirt. And a lot of other people just come through and dominate. People that I'm not really too familiar with. But they all just matched the feel of the tracks that they were on. Usually they had features on the more satirical, humorous tracks. And so I was definitely impressed with the features on here. The production is just full-blown alternative hip-hop. A lot of funky, buzzy drum beats with quirky synths coming in and out. Like I said, a lot of buzzing bass lines. And the only thing I would say about it is it's not very accessible. And it's not going to be immediately satisfying to listen to, especially if you're not a fan of the alternative scene or familiar with it at all. If you're more of like a pop rap fan or radio rap fan, you may give this one listen and just really not enjoy the sonics of it. I mean, it definitely does have a very weird vibe to it. And it was even, I listen to a lot of hip-hop, obviously, as I run this podcast, but it was even pretty unfamiliar to me, kind of uncharted territory, but it really is special. So it really would be a shame if people are tossing this aside off one listen. Another thing that I would point out about this album, and again, this isn't bad, this kind of more or less speaks to the cohesiveness and progression of the album, but you really can't play it on shuffle. If you play this album on shuffle and enjoy it, you are likely crazy, because the storyline and, like I said, the progression of it is so important and fundamental to it. If you listen to it just sporadically, it's going to be like living in an insane asylum, because there will be nothing to tie together why so many songs sound so different. But really, to sum up, I love this album. I think it's the best album of the year. It really blew me away. Every time I listen, I pick up on new nuggets and intricacies, and I love an album that makes me think and keeps me coming back, looking for and finding more. So best tracks, Waiting for the Moon, Breakfast of Champions, River, My Contributions to the Scam, and Peacock. Worst tracks, I'm not even going to name one because I just can't do it. I recommend if you like Open Mike Eagle, Quasimodo, or Milo. Overall rating, I'm going to give this a low 9. Like I said, it's my album of the year. It's going to knock off the Jericho Jackson album for number 1 of 2018 for me. And I will play My Contributions to This Scam and then Waiting for the Moon. So the first track here is going to be more of a comedic track of them attacking like trend followers and like false idols and stuff like that. And then the second song is that track I said was like the peak of the album that really defines what it is and kind of the everyday struggle of regular people. So this is My Contributions to This Scam and Waiting for the Moon by Quellcris and Jean Grey from their new album, Everything's Fine.
My contributions to this game.
I'm wearing overalls, one shoulder off. Dwayne Wayne flip glasses, syrup for my cough. It's gonna be lit. I ain't wrote shit.
My contributions to this game.
I mean, I just understand rap.
Yeah.
It's inside of me.
Me too.
Like, old school.
Uh-huh.
I so respect it. This is Tupac on
my shirt.
My contributions to this game.
Everyone can say nigga. It's 2000,
you're dotting the whiz, you bring nothing, you ruin shit. Douchey acts, body spray influences. Why I got a Deus Ex mocking the things? I'm done doing this. Save yourself, useless, and tie the neck, losers, I'm tired. Semicolon sick, I done threw up the deuces 86 times. With no hint of stick on the bullseye, tick line. Older than the distance of reticuli, particularly relevant. So you know when I kick it, I'm an elephant man. Not a Joseph Merrick, an elephant fan. Don't forget, like America, the land of the clan. They gave you that, I gave you 9-minute schoolgirl rants. Jill Palance, epic Eastern manifestos. Why you wrong, Keast is waiting for a trend to pop off. You knock off Chinatown, alleyways, circle jerk, box office ratings, YouTube reviewers, shut up. You contributed another thing. Did I stutter? You're not helping.
My contributions to this game.
I came in with a 40 OZ. 5 niggas I came up with, they all rap too. 100 CDR discs, 3 Fire 16s, and a dime bag.
My contributions to this game.
I bought 2 bottles of Alizé to get it straight. 2 stunts I've been trying to stun on from Runaway. Plus my little man hears the truth. Pete, what he gotta say?
My contributions to this game.
Y'all got that butt, though.
Yo. One city defines the state of a cold country. 850 the night devours the day hungry. Provide a life for freaks to proceed from the rises up. 150 the club hoppers rocking their favorite outfits. 150 the dope heads tipping a fifth of vodka. 150 the big fella thug niggas lifting the block up. The other two variant hoods through our various projects. Middle class areas carrying angels and monsters. This is life. Hip hop's most dangerous topic. Better than prophets and preaching the presence of Auschwitz. But even in this most hectic, the city is precious. Powerful pressure felt when learning a hard lesson. Confessions of first times in your lifeline came with the sunshine of the nights born from your right mind. Sometimes it's beautiful, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's knucklehead niggas, a lot of times it's the cops. Some brothers live in the dark all day, riding between a rock and a hard place. Cause the light of day is a hard way to chase your liquor up. And it takes a hard shake to wake a nigga up. Work in the graveyard shift to get your figures up. Hitting the dollars weighing them strippers down. Everybody waiting for the moon to come around. Like everybody waiting for the moon to come around. Like everybody waiting for the moon to come around. Like everybody waiting for the moon to come around. Like everybody waiting for the moon to come around. Like everybody waiting for the moon to come around. Everybody waiting for the moon to come around.
Don't waste your dreams, never gonna be perfect. Know how it seems doing it now is always worth it. And sometimes it feels like, you can't hold on, but hold on. Don't let the day bring you down. Baby, don't you wait for the moon to come around.
That was my contributions to this scam. And Waiting for the Moon by Qualchris and Jean Grey. I hate to have to cut that song off early, and now that I played them, I feel like those snippets just do not do justice to the album in general, so if you're going to listen to one, I would definitely listen to this one in full, because those snippets just aren't going to quite give you a grasp of what really is at play here, but it's a special album. But we got to move on, and we have a pretty interesting topic to discuss next. We're talking about Meek Mill, and I mentioned he had an unexpected visitor this weekend to his prison, and it was none other than New England Patriots owner Bob Kraft showing up to pay his respects to Meek Mill and hope he gets out soon. And he did a quick little like presser, I guess you could say, after the visit, and he's saying it's just unbelievable that Meek Mill is still in prison, and we haven't really talked about this subject on the podcast, so I figured I'd do a quick background here. Basically, Meek Mill in like 2007 or 2008 got caught up with some like minor, well, not minor charges. He was selling marijuana and he had an illegal firearm on him. So yes, he did things that were illegal, but as a young kid growing up in Philly with the things going on around him, all things considered, it's not really that bad, and he completely dropped those habits once he got into music, but the problem is his probation has been just continuously extending since that incident. He's not even allowed to leave the city of Philadelphia without permission from his judge, and he got caught up in New York because he was, I mean, again, kind of not a good look to be riding like dirt bikes on the streets of New York when you're not supposed to be there, but it's, all things considered, for him to get 4 years in prison for basically leaving Philly and going to New York is pretty absurd, especially when it's stemming from a charge all the way back in 2008 that has nothing to do with the current life he's living. And on top of that, the judge and the person who somewhat like gave a testimony to his conviction are both like known corrupt officials. The judge, obviously, she's able to like make demands on his probation, characteristics that he has to meet, whether it's community service or whatever, whatever. But some of her demands were that he name drop her in a song. Another one of her demands was that he leave his current management label and sign with her friend's upstart company. Like, these are absurd, ridiculous demands that you're just are nearly against the law as it is. And on top of that, the officer who originally arrested Meek Mill and gave the testimony to what was going on is like a pathological liar. The corrupt judge herself said he wakes up lying in the morning. Multiple of his officers have also agreed with that statement. He's actually not even allowed to give testimonies anymore in court because he is a deemed unreliable source. And so these are the two people who are in charge of Meek Mill's situation and the reason he's going to be potentially in jail for another like 3 to 4 years unless things change drastically. And what I think is really cool about Robert Kraft showing up to visit him is I think it brings a lot more eyes to the situation and definitely changes the optics, because some people could look at him and just think, oh, young, stupid kid who made bad decisions, he gets what he gets, when really that isn't really the case. That doesn't really envelop the entire circumstances and the situation at play here. And it's kind of hypocritical for people to just say, oh, well, he broke the rules, he gets the punishment, that's the way it is. Because people break the rules every day with zero fear of punishment. I see it all the time, whether it's, you know, underage drinking or drugs. It's pretty much consequence-free. Even if you get caught, nothing is really bad is going to happen to you. So this idea that, oh, he broke the rules, he has to do the punishment, is really stupid, because you would never stand for that yourself. And so I think it's awesome to see, like, a very established businessman, an older, mature man, come in and testify on Meek Mill's behalf, saying, this is ridiculous. This kid should not be in prison. He should not be serving out this time. This probation is pretty much bullshit. And I think it will win over a lot of people who were looking at the situation with the wrong optics. So I think it was pretty powerful for Robert Kraft to go visit him, talk about him, say he's a smart young man. I respect him. I really appreciate what he does. And another line that he dropped in the presser, he's like, why do people want this guy in prison? He's not causing problems in everyday society. He's an entertainer making music. Like, who wants him behind bars? Whose objective is it to keep him in there? And it just seems crazy. So I'm happy that Bob Kraft went back, brought this back to the forefront of people's minds, and hopefully changed some people's minds about the situation in general. So shout out to Bob Kraft. And also, it's funny that he went, because Meek actively cheered on the Eagles, who beat Robert Kraft's Patriots. I know that's kind of not relevant. He's not going to, like, not stand up for him just because he's an Eagles fan. But I just thought it was kind of funny. So I just wanted to talk about that real quick, update people on Meek's situation, and just give a quick shout out to Bob Kraft, proud owner of my favorite football team, Go Pats. So with that kind of wrapped up, we're going to move on to our song of the week. And once again, I actually considered talking about a Drake song for Song of the Week, but I got to imagine everybody's kind of heard it, and it's nothing that new from Drake. His single, Nice For What, dropped. I enjoy it. It's not as good as God's Plan, which came out earlier this year, but definitely cool to see Drake back on the right track. But we're not going to be talking about Drake today, so I'll stop about him. We are talking about Amine, and he dropped a single kind of out of left field featuring hip-hop group Injury Reserve. And some quick background thoughts that I originally had on Amine: he was a 2017 XXL freshman, which we talked about back when the magazine dropped their list. But my original thoughts on Amine were, when his song Caroline broke out, it was like a pop rap, radio rap, huge success. And I thought that was kind of the part of the industry that he was destined for. I thought he may have even been a one-hit wonder with Caroline, and we wouldn't really hear any good music from him after that. But he dropped Good For You, proved he could do more, but still had a more of a mainstream, easygoing sound to it. But this new track, Campfire, with Injury Reserve, completely breaks that mold. Just because of his vocal tone, he's always going to have somewhat of an inviting feel on songs. He's never going to be very abrasive or in your face. But I think this track definitely proves he's moving further and further from the part of the industry I originally thought he was headed for, which was radio singles, mainstream success, following, you know, guys like Drake, really, and making just fun, addictive singles. But maybe that's not the case, because this group, Injury Reserve, was not someone I would have expected Amine to be working with. They're a very abstract, you know, you could even say they're an experimental hip-hop group in this day and age. Nothing really about what they do appeals to a mainstream audience. I would never expect to hear Injury Reserve sell a crazy number of albums or be high on streaming charts or be being on the radio or anything like that. They're just not that type of group, and that's not a bad thing. It's just who they are. They're more of a, you know, I don't give a fuck, I'm going to do whatever we want to do, make our type of music. And it appeals to more of a niche group of people. And they did meet Amine kind of in the middle here. Campfire has more of a groovy tone to it, but it still has kind of a nice edge to it. And like I said, continues to move Amine more into a hip-hop heads rapper than a pop rapper. And so here we go. We'll play Campfire by Aminé featuring Injury Reserve.
No business born insecure junkyard motherfucker!
She always with the shits. Put 100 in my pocket and 100 on the rims. That's my little bitch. That's my little bitch. That's my little bitch. That's my little bitch. Put a red dress on her and some gas for the trip. Got 100 in my pocket and a couple on the tent. That's my little bitch. That's my little bitch. That's my little bitch. That's my little bitch.
Campfire. I'm a hot motherfucker. Please no pictures. I'm a tired motherfucker. Spidey senses tingle when it's fake niggas. Dread swinging like they did the Harlem Shake, nigga. That's true. West Coast till I die. If you want respect, look me in my EYE. I love my whips like a racist and travel out of places. Free my nigga head, fuck the police. Oprah for president, CLB in resident. This face when I'm disgraced, that's the nigga in me. Might catch me at a Whole Foods. And if you see that red Mercedes, then you know who.
Got a bad little mama and she always with the shits. Put 100 in my pocket and 100 on the rims. That's my little bitch, that's my little bitch. That's my little bitch, that's my little bitch. Put a red dress on her and some gas for the trip. Got 100 in my pocket and a couple on the tent. That's my little bitch, that's my little bitch. That's my little bitch, that's my
yeah,
little bitch.
Yeah, Campfire, I'm a scary little nigga. It's running my blood like Drew Barrymore, nigga. My fit on ET, your shit on EBT. So will you try and flex? I'm like, yo, what's your credit score, nigga? Yeah, and that's word to my granny. Since 14, knew the route like Randy. Everything dandy, gray sweats with the pennies. Side effects may vary. Yeah, fuck these niggas with a child lock. So many hits, I can have my own now comp. And a triple album full of all my children. No difference from Kids Bop, book them in the Hilton.
Got a bad little mama and she always with the shits. Put 100 in my pocket and 100 on the rims. That's my little bitch, that's my little bitch. That's my little bitch, that's my little bitch. Put a red dress on her and some gas for the trip. Got 100 in my pocket and a couple on the tent. That's my little bitch, that's my little bitch. That's my little bitch, that's my little bitch.
That's your song of the week, Campfire by Aminé. I'm a fan of that track right there. That, like, low-key bangs, but also has a nice groove to it. I'm excited to see where Aminé goes next. I liked his album Good For You from last year. And if he can keep up the energy and style of this track, I think he could easily top what he did with Good For You last year. So we'll see what he does, but I'm excited about it. And this was a pretty dope single that dropped, so don't miss out on this one. And we're going to close out the show, as we always do, with some new music announcements. We'll check what dropped last week and what's dropping tomorrow. I guess today is Thursday night, so what's dropping at midnight tonight. But first off, last Friday, April 6th, we got Vacation in Hell by Flatbush Zombies, Care For Me by Saba, Invasion of Privacy by Cardi B, Total Xanarchy by Lil Xan, Dex Meets Dexter by Famous Dex, and Moose Bumps, A Modern Day Exploration of Horripilation by Dr. Octagon. A lot of big name drops and a lot of solid releases too. I'll be talking about my favorite two drops from that group of albums on next week's show, so stay tuned for that one. And then dropping tonight, Friday, April 13th, is going to be Joyride by Tinashe, A Girl Cried Red by Princess Nokia, and Bless Your Trap by Smoke Perp, which I believe is fully produced by Murda Beats. So it should have some fire production. I don't know if Smoke Perp is really going to bring my favorite style of artistry on that one, but I'm going to give him a chance. He runs with that Lil Pump group right there, so they're pretty similar. Lil Pump, Lil Perp. They're not for everybody, but we may be talking about him in a couple weeks, so we'll see. But that's your new music announcements, what's coming out soon and just dropped. And that's pretty much all we have for the Hip Hop Enthusiast podcast today. So you know what it is, keeping you up to date on hip hop music in 2018. I'm your host, Kyle French. Go listen to some dope hip hop music, and I will catch you guys next week for another episode. I'll see you then. Peace.